Welcome to the Journal Hijabi podcast. I'm your host, Sirin, and here we're all about elevating the voices of hijabi women in mainstream media through authentic storytelling. Without further ado, let's begin the episode.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to another episode of Journal Hijabi. This is your host, Serene. I brought up that I love the name Janine. And then it reminded us of the girl in high school that we went with, and she was, you know, typically considered like the popular girl. And then you said, it's crazy how like we deem certain girls to be like popular.
Yeah. Shout out to Janine Abdullah. But yeah, something that I noticed.
And like the school that we went to, it's like, so me and my sister went to a school called Oxford in
American
Jordan, and
school.
It was literally like, like an American Arab school, I guess, international, you know, students from America that are Arab and live overseas.
And they were all Arab?
What?
They weren't all Arab. We had
well,
some Ukrainian.
Well, most of them, really?
Yeah.
I mean, like 80, 90% of them, to be honest. But that school, like, I'm just thinking about it for the first time. It's literally like a meet, like it was the image of like the mean girl high school. Like it was like 80% of the girls were like mean girls, popular.
Yeah,
you looked up to them. And I was just saying, like, how do they like have that confidence at that age?
Yeah, and kind of the thought process, it was almost a revelation that we had, was that these girls were just not afraid to be themselves, to be their most authentic self, to
yeah.
be that.
And I was telling you, like, why weren't they afraid to be themselves? Like, I would look at them, like, even in my class, your class, throughout the whole school, and it's like, they're confident, they're just not afraid to be themselves. And then I just came to conclusion that I guess, like, that's the circle that they grew up around, that maybe they had people to look up to, like, especially the mom figure, like, their mom had to be, you know, like, confident, let them speak their mind, let them do this. And then just like looking at me at that age, like 14 15, not even that, I think I was literally like maybe 12 or 13, and I was just like quiet and shy, and I was like, I could never imagine myself being like that girl. Like, I would look at the seniors and like she would come dressed up to school, like have the eyeliner. This is like 2009 2010.
And it's funny that you bring up like the eyeliner and the look, because actually, you know, my friend Russia at the time, her and I were close, and we were the losers.
Same loser gang. Loser gang 2009 2010.
Hey. So funny. But you know, the reality situation was that, yeah, exactly, we were just shy, we weren't gifted with that confidence at a young age. And it's like I say, it's interesting that you bring up looks, because her and I had a conversation, we're like, look, we're sick of being losers.
Yeah,
here's what we're gonna do.
Wait, Russia? Or
yeah, her name's
Russia. Saying names now.
Yeah, well, it's fine,
they might listen to
it. I mean, we can share it with them. Hey guys, you're in this feature.
Because I feel like you, and, you know, as, like, my older sister, like, I would look up to you.
Yeah.
I saw you as one of the popular girls. I saw you as one of them because you would have like many different friends throughout the years and ages, and I would see you like more towards the end, like you gained more confidence and you kind of been in that popular girl group, especially with that girl Lunatic. Her nickname is Lunatic.
No, it's funny, like Rasha and I made a pact and we're like, look, we're sick of being the loser girls. Tomorrow we're gonna and our plan was to come the next day and straighten our hair. Like that was the game plan. That was the game plan, to come straighten our hair, the side bangs, do the eyeliner, do everything. And it's interesting that you say, you know, Janine, and then they would come with the eyeliner and stuff, but really when you take a step back and realize it really had nothing to do with the external looks. It didn't matter if your hair was straight or if you had the eyeliner. It was that internal confidence.
That's true, but also both, because it's like maybe them waking up in the morning and dressing up like that made them feel like a bad bee.
Maybe
like putting the mascara, like I didn't put on mascara
until, Luna never wore makeup.
Really?
I mean, for the most part, like, yeah, she was very was more weird. Like a natural, but she was
always
just,
like, dress up, like shoes. So like we wore a uniform.
Yeah.
So you could only like accessorize with like the baddest, hottest shoes.
You
like,
remember? I was rainbow Nike shoes in bottom low one.
Yeah, in bottom low. She literally had like these rainbow Nike clown shoes.
I wish I had those still.
And you would dress up just with your hair. Like you straighten it, you put bangs, you put braids, glitter,
Shabah.
Undershirts, bracelets, rings, makeup. And also remember in that school, like so weird, we weren't allowed to like do certain, like we weren't allowed to have nail polish. Remember? We weren't allowed to chew gum. The principal, oh my god,
you're very limited on how you could express yourself.
Remember the principal? He's like,
oh my god,
he was like a literal, like I'm sorry, but like a dictator. And he would come
he was scary.
In classes. What was his name?
Abu Sharif. Hamad Sharif.
Oh my god. Yeah, so our principal in that school, literally, was it like a private boarding school? It was so weird.
Something.
And he would come in, and you know, like the classes are like small, so in sixth grade there's only like two classes, so mine was like 6A 6B. So he would walk in the classes, and this is from
everyone's shivering,
and this is what from we heard from like our grade, that he would walk into these older kids classes like 9A, 9B, 9th grade, and he would go one by one checking out like their hair. There were the girls were supposed to have it tied in a ponytail.
Yeah,
they weren't. Their nails were supposed to be cut.
Yeah,
like do we live in Korea or something? We weren't allowed to chew gum. So what we heard is that he would stick his finger in the student's mouth. I don't know if this was a rumor circling around, but that's what I heard.
Oh my god.
Put his, go one by one, desk by desk student, put his finger in their mouth, swirl it to see if they have gum in their mouth, and then remove his finger, wipe it, go to the next one.
That's disgusting.
It's like
that's
literally
so it's anti-sanitary.
And honestly, I didn't really hesitate believing that, because that's something that he would do. Because I remember he would come in our classes, but I guess he would be like a little bit lenient, because like, you know, we're the small kids, like sixth grade, he would still be like, you know, we'd shit our pants. But one time he came up to me, whoo, what you gotta say, and he just, like, my hair was down, so he told me I had to like put in a ponytail. Like, never again did I ever put it down. Not once. It was always in a ponytail. Never did my nail polish. And it was just like crazy that was our principal. And then remember when the principal literally got in a fight with it, like he punched, they had a fist fight.
Oh my god.
With the student. That's just like crazy now that we're talking about.
He's
like,
now dead, that student too.
Those schools what?
Haram Ali Rahmo, that student.
Oh god. It's crazy we're talking about these people, but they're not even alive.
Oh my god.
And then even our, oh my god, remember the religion teacher?
Fazri of Sarkam.
What? No, our Islam religion teacher, and he had like the sons, and he was so super nice. And I heard that he passed away. Maybe he was only my religion teacher. But
I had a lady religion teacher,
and she
always say "Fazr leaves zirkom."
And then y'all's freaking professor man teacher that always had like anger issues whenever y'all wouldn't
our
pay
English
attention.
Teacher, oh my god,
whenever y'all would,
he got
well, I don't
so
know,
he, mad at us one day. He was like,
and
actually,
I heard,
it wasn't even us.
We heard it down the freaking hall.
Yeah,
he was so mad trying to lecture, and everyone was like not paying attention, talking. He exited the classroom, and he was like, "Teach yourselves," like in Arabic, like "Al-Muhalkum."
Yeah,
and he threw the book in the hallway and just stormed off.
They
could never do that here.
Outside of the whole university.
They could never. Oh my god.
Building.
We need a movie. Like, there need to be cameras in Oxford School. And
Oxford schools.
Not the Oxford in England. Whenever I say Oxford, people think we went to the one in England. Calm down. We went to, it's like in Jordan again. And
yeah.
I swear to God, like, the stories.
It's pretty wild. Yeah, that dean teacher, Fazariyev Zirkom, it was so funny. Me and Sara, once Sara recorded.
So random.
She, like, recorded her saying,
so wait, let's translate that. Fazer Elif Zirkum, what the hell is that? Like,
so,
popping? Like,
yeah, fuzzed would be to, like burst.
Burst the bursting you?
Fazer Elif Zirkum, like...
Burst?
Like...
What's bursting you?
Like, it's kind pop of like you. Wishing... It's kind of like...
It just doesn't make sense. Like, it's just like...
It's just what? Really funny, the fact that she would use those words, but... Yeah, it was pretty funny. She ended up posting it on Facebook after a dare that I dared her to do. And yeah, she got in trouble and we had to take it down.
Oh my god, I just flashed back to the time where you beat up your teacher.
What? I didn't beat up my teacher.
Okay, I'm like being dramatic. You didn't beat up your teacher, but okay. This was at school before we went to Oxford.
That was a private
Hijaz. Yeah. It's a private school. It was her English teacher.
And, you know, no, it wasn't English. Like, it was Mehani, which is...
Well, I don't care. She's a teacher. And, like, you know, so, like, we're born and raised in Texas and America. So, like, we already kind of developed the values of, like, in education, like, the teacher's not supposed to hit you. Like,
normal.
You know, standing up for yourself, which is normal, by the way. Not supposed to beat you up and make sure you're not chewing gum and tying your hair and nail polish and cutting your nails. So, one time she just pushed your buttons, right? Can you tell us what happened?
Oh my god, it was a very funny story. Actually, like, the beginning of the story is really sweet. I had a classmate who, the time of this Mehani class was kind of...
Wait, Mehani, engineering?
Mehani's like,
technology?
No, it's kind of like lifestyle?
Oh,
I don't know, like we would learn stuff about, like, food, like, and
health.
Like, nutrition.
Health.
Yeah, like health. Health, yeah, basically. But anyways, during the time of that class was when I think it was like first or second grade would be let out. So one of my classmates had her sister that she would go get during that time and then come bring her in the class to sit with us. And so, you know, I would offer to, her sister was so cute and, you know, we spent some time together and I offered to go get her. And one of the times I went to go get her, I came back and the teacher did not like that. She didn't like that I...
You standing up for her?
She didn't like that I went and you basically, I went in the break of class to go grab her sister and come back. And because I was a little bit late to class, I guess, you know, she didn't like that. But obviously I went to go, you know, grab her sister and bring her. But yeah, I guess, you know, the teacher was just not in a good mood that day. And...
yeah,
what
they
did
take
she
out
do?
Their moods on us, like,
yeah,
calm down.
Exactly. She kind of, you know, was yelling at me a little bit and like, oh, why are you late? Mm-hmm. And I told her, you know, I went to go get the sister and, you know, I just had to go grab her and I'm here now and like here I am and stuff. And she didn't like that. So then she made me stand up. She did not allow me to sit down.
Are we in kindergarten?
Yeah. She made me stand up in the front of the class and... as she was teaching and then I was facing the wall.
Mind you, the class is like
how humiliating. Yeah,
the class, like, it's not like you're gonna stand in a corner and like no one can really see you or like you're the back of the class.
You're
it's
right like, next to the
it's
chalkboard
as big as our room right now, just a normal like rectangle square box, like,
yeah.
That's the class, like,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
like
yeah.
You stand up and you walk 2 feet and that's it, like the whole class
yeah.
is looking at
I
you.
Was like 2 inches away from
the board.
Yeah, exactly.
Chalkboard.
She had me facing the wall and obviously, I didn't like that, but I just, you know, I stayed quiet, I didn't do anything. This ma'am decided to push it, and she then pushed me.
Oh, no.
She kind of, like, gave me a little shove towards the wall. I guess she didn't like, you know,
like your
the
attitude,
fact that,
like
that my nose
you.
Wasn't touching the wall. She didn't like
what?
That. I don't know. So she pushed me, and I had had enough at that point, so I turned around and kind of took her hands off of me.
And the whole class was like, ooh.
They were like,
let's go, Yasmin.
Like, ooh. And I was like, Mata di Vicini. Which translates to, like, don't push me.
Mitty Mouse voice.
Exactly. And, you know, at that point, I was already humiliated. I was embarrassed. Like, yeah. I was, you know, you really just belittled me. And then now yeah. you're going to try and, like, humiliate me even more. So I just didn't really like that. And, you know, I took her hands off of me. And then I stormed out of class. And I went to... Every floor had a, I don't know, was it a principal or kind of like someone in charge dean. Of that floor? Dean, yeah, I guess. Yeah. So I went to her office. I was crying. I told her what happened. And yeah, she definitely knew what to do, which was nice. She went and talked to the teacher and kind of made her understand, like, ma'am, this is an American student. Yeah, don't do that. She's not.
Don't do it, ma'am. They don't do it like that.
Yeah, but she's from the other side of the sea.
But do you think that's why she did that? Do you think that we were treated that sort of certain way? Because I have some stories too.
Really?
Yeah. Like, do you think, like, just the intimidation of them?
Probably.
Like, how dare you think that you can't follow the rules in this country?
Probably.
Who do you think you are? Because I gotten that a lot. Like, it was, like, both sides of the spectrum. Like, basically being praised for, like, being American or speaking English. And then the other side of, like, jealousy and, like, how dare you and who
yeah,
you
it's a good
are
point.
You? Kind of like that. Because... I've even witnessed, and not just to say, like, they only do that to us. Like, I've seen them do that to other students. Like, I've witnessed a boy getting bitch slapped so effing hard in front of all these girls. And, like, obviously that, like, ruined his confidence. Like, yeah. How can you just do that? How is that allowed at those schools? Mm-hmm. And also thinking of the time that I was just, like, praised. Like, when I first started in the Al-Hijaz school, this was, like, fifth grade. And so they knew that I was American and stuff, and they would make me stand up on the desk, like, when the teacher wasn't there, and read, like, someone handed me a book and, like, to read, like, English. I was like, okay, what the F is going on? I stand up on the desk in the class, and I read the word Australia, and they're like, what? Jumping and screaming as if I, like, won the World Cup or something. And I was just, like, so confused, like, like, I don't understand. Like, it's literally just an English word. And it's so funny because there was also, like, another girl in that class, and she's from Russia, and she would always get so pissed. She'd tell them, well, I'm from Russia. Like, like, I'm from Russia. Give me attention. So what if she's from America? I'm in Russia. Like, I lived there for, like, 3 days. Like, ma'am, calm down. So just, like, those stories and, like, seeing. And I had another one that I have to remember.
But I kind of want to circle back to, like, the... Janine story and the confidence, and you said you kind of have the answer for that, or like the method, and I think that would be really interesting to dive into, because, you know, we're talking about our situations mm-hmm. and our experiences of being overseas and being in a place where our confidence was demolished. And so
yeah, pretty much, like, we were just, I don't know what the word is, but like, kind of thrown into the punching bag, pretty much. Like, yeah. Just being young, vulnerable, foreign, American, Arab, a whole kind of realm into the Arabic world of, like, the language, reading, writing, and, like, not knowing that. Mm-hmm. And really just, like, having to figure it out by ourselves.
Yeah.
Literally, like, having to figure it, like, we wouldn't go home and my mom and dad would be like, okay, so this is how it is here. This is what you're going to do. You need to be strong. You need to be like a strong Arab woman. You need to stand up for yourself. Because, you know, we had our moments in school, but I would never come back home and tell them. Like, mm-hmm. I would just either stay silent or just deal with it myself, or like talk to a counselor.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's really important to give the future generation the tools to assess situations like these and really build that personality and that confidence to battle these kinds of situations, instead of just staying silent, just working through it in whatever way that works for you. But it's just not really proactive to ignore it, to ignore the treatment that you're being treated. Or
yeah, let's go back to when you said that you and your friend Rasha, like, made the plan to, like, dress up as the popular girls one day and just show up and just be those bad bees.
Yeah, it was funny because we said, yeah, we're gonna straighten our hair, we're gonna, you know, put eyeliner, like, we had this whole intricate plan. And we really thought that we were going to come the next day and just feel a different way. We were going to feel confident, feel great, and feel this. But it really did not make a difference at all. Like, we came the next day, we did, you know, straighten
our
hair.
You didn't get any, like, compliments from other girls?
I mean, I don't quite remember, but, like, the point is that it didn't make me personally feel any different, like, as I thought it would. So that just kind of goes back to the fact that these are things that need to be cultivated inside of us. True. These are things that we need to train ourselves, especially as children, to have these traits of confidence, of fearlessness, bravery, courage, and to not be shy and afraid to be ourselves.
Yeah, that you can be that woman at that age. You don't have to, like, I was just saying, like, you have to, like, turn 25 to, like, have that confidence. Like, now I'm 24 and I'm confident, like, I'm that girl, like, I don't care what anyone says. But it's looking at that age, I was like, I could never.
Yeah,
that could never be.
And it's not even an age thing, it's like totally a mind, because here I am at 26. I am at 26, and there are times in my life, like, I think at age, you know, I look back at photos of, or the videos that we have, right?
Yeah, you dancing.
Yeah, I was so fearless. I was so confident. I was exuding confidence, and I was just so unapologetically myself. And that was my true, authentic self. And I look back at that, and I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah, like, it makes me so happy, and I crave that so much in myself. And, you know, even now at 26, going through all the things that I've been through in my life, it's still something that I battle with, is like, what are other people gonna think? Which is so destructive, really, because then you're living your life for other people and you're not even living life for yourself.
So why do you think you were that way at that age in those videos, like, confident, not afraid to be yourself? Because you think you didn't, like, have that much influence, like, it was just you.
What do you mean, not that much influence?
Oh, like, from, you know, other people? Yeah, like, just...
I don't know. I really don't... I'm not...
Maybe it's just, like, a kid... Because I always think about that a lot. It's not a kid thing. It's a kid thing of, like, you still haven't really absorbed, like, the hard parts of the world and, like, developed your personality. So you're just always, like, playful, cheerful, not afraid to be yourself. You haven't, like, learned those... the negative parts about the world that, you know, bring you down and stuff.
But you know the real parts of life, which are to remain playful, to keep your imagination, to...
And maybe it's because also, like, maybe our memory. Like, you just don't really, like, care or remember as a kid. Like, I look at Jad, you know, at 7 years old, like, if something bad happens to him, like, he'll be, you know, a little sad for a quick minute, but then he'll, like, forget it ever happened and just be jumpy and happy.
Yeah.
I wish we could do that now.
That's what it is about kids. We're so present. We're so present. True, we're true, so present in the moment. And, like, yeah, something bad happens, but then guess what? The next moment is beautiful and we get to focus on that. I really think that is the differentiating factor between my kid self and my current self, is the ability to be so present. And it's something that I'm working on myself every single day and trying to implement these practices that allow me to be more present with myself and with my current experience, to where I can focus on the current moment right now, because right now is all there ever is. And if we can learn to focus on the now, that's how we can find joy.
Yeah. It's hard, but it's definitely a practice. Like, a lot of things, you know, need to help you. And, like, just, you know, just the saying of, like, stop and come back. But I was thinking about how you were talking about, like, that mindset being more internally than externally. And I remembered kind of a similar experience that I had about, like, dressing up and, you know, looking a certain way just to, like, fit in. And it's weird how, I guess, it's, like, more... I don't know if it's an overseas thing or just, like, a middle school girl thing, but, like, there was, like, this popular, like, we had our popular, you know, well-known girl that was just sociable out there in our grade, and, like, I was friends with her, like, everyone was friends with her, like, it's fine, she was chill. That's the thing, like, there wasn't, in Oxford, there wasn't just, like, that one popular girl, there would be, like, four popular girls in one class, like, that's what I had. I was friends with one of them, and she's, like, from South Africa, and, you know, she's just, like, unapologetic about herself, not afraid to be herself, and then one day she decided to just kind of, like, do this makeover to me. So, like, she told me what to do. So, you're going to go home, you're going to straighten your hair, you're going to shave your mustache. And I freaking forget that, because she's the one that, like, made me kind of do the shave. So, that's why, like, I get hair there. Like, shave your mustache and stuff. Like, so annoying. And so, the next day I came, like, my hair straightened, my mustache shaved. And then we sat like in the empty room across the hall, and she was like doing my makeup, like fixing my hair, putting it up, putting a little eyeliner, a bracelet, a scarf. And I'm not gonna lie, I felt really good. Like, I felt like that girl, that moment. I felt like I could be myself. I'm like, damn, I actually look good. Like, why don't I do this every day? And I actually have a picture, and I'm just like dying to find that picture, because it's like exactly how I looked sitting at that chair. I look like such a baddie, and like there's like stuff written on the desk, and like I felt like that bitch, like that popular girl. I didn't have to pretend anymore because I was her. I just needed to like bring her out. And it's crazy.
It's amazing.
And I will say, like, yeah, it did make me feel good. Like, it has an effect. But the thing about that is it wears off. It's not... It's like an armor, you know, when you're done from war, you take it off, a jacket. When it's not cold anymore, you take it off. That's the thing about it. But inside, that's like forever.
Yeah.
It's like in you, it's living. You can nurture it and grow it and make it permanent, like an organ.
Yeah.
It's in you forever. That's the thing. Like, you have to figure out and like find the balance and just like use it to your advantage.
That's beautiful. Being in that place where you're scared to talk and speak your voice and speak your truth.
I mean, I was just assuming that, like, you're not used to, like, podcasting.
Well, but that's the thing is, like, you need to get used to the sound of your own voice. Exactly.
That's what I was struggling with, like, starting this podcast.
Yes. Exactly.
I was about to start a plane.
Yeah, when you're in a place where you're not used to speaking up and it feels awkward to do that and you're shy,
but it's also like normalizing it, though. Like, I've accepted that, like, for the better part of a year. Like, it was hard for me to like speak that, because, and you know, I'm not alone. Like, I know a lot of people are like that. Like, if you start a podcast, like, it's just so cringy and you don't want to hear your own voice. You just cannot even tolerate, accept that, or even seeing a video of yourself. And like, now I'm just like talking in the tone.
That's not normal to not accept yourself like that. And it's so much more than
listening. But it's practice.
Yes,
I would be kind of confused if you just like wake up one day, start a podcast, and you're like not into care about your voice like at all.
Yeah, but it's so much more than just a podcast. It's like everyday life, speaking in public, holding conversations, being sociable, being able to speak your opinion and articulate the way that you feel in the way that you want to, in a sincere way. Yeah. So it's so important to exactly activate your throat chakra, mama, and make sure that you are able to do that.
Embody that color. What color is it?
Blue.
Yeah, blue.
Blue, exactly. And knowing that it's okay. And what I like to say is, know that you are allowed to be loud.
Ooh.
You are allowed to be loud.
You are allowed
to be loud.
To be loud.
You are allowed to be loud. You are allowed to be loud. Especially in a way where it's like, hey, what the sotik, what's the shoe?
Relating it to the Arab woman. You know, the culture.
Exactly.
Not the religion.
It's like, yeah, it's like, and it's, again, that European beauty standard, or you know, not even, just like the expectation of a woman to be mu'addib and to be well-behaved and to sit down quiet. And so that's how you're likable, to sit down and you're quiet and you're, you know, and you're following rules and you're doing this. But like, that's not our nature as women. It's really not.
Our nature is picking olives and making olive oil.
And
being, milking goats.
And frolicking around in the garden and like being wild women. Like, that is our natural nature.
Unapologetic Arab woman. And if you hear a change, a tone, voice of change in our voices, it's because we just read an article by Samar Marwan.
Badass article.
Titled, Don't Date a Successful Arab Woman.
Woo!
Let's fucking go. So I'm going to read it to you guys. And I mean, you know, you don't have to be Arab. Any hijabi, any Muslim woman.
Any
will,
woman.
Will relate to any woman, period.
Yeah.
We'll relate to this. So let's read it and see if y'all feel confident after this. And let's like break down the article and talk about it. You want to read like one paragraph? Or
yeah.
I'm like a good audio person. I want that to be my job. Hire me, Kindle. My mentor once told me that there's nothing that scares an Arab man more than a successful Arab woman who doesn't have to depend on him. Since becoming said woman, I've come to learn that she was right. I've also realized you probably shouldn't date a successful Arab woman.
You shouldn't date a successful Arab woman because she's unique in the sense that she's genuinely an independent... Oh. Why would you ruin that for her? In the sense that she's genuinely an independent, functioning human being. You shouldn't date her because she won't let your pride and jealousy stop her from doing what she does best.
Don't date a successful Arab woman because she's selective, since she knows from her experience that she gets what she wants regardless of what it is.
She's not overanalyzing your text. She's overanalyzing annual reports. She doesn't get nervous about dates. She gets nervous before interviews. She's not thinking of ways she can please you. She's thinking of ways to better the world. Yes!
Period. She's self-aware, not insecure. She's emotionally and mentally mature. She knows how and when to be selfish and when it's worth being selfless.
Yes. Oh, I love that. The Arab woman has always been extremely driven, doing whatever.
Driving. Forever. I drive like a lot. Extremely driving and hitting curbs.
Yes. Doing whatever it takes to achieve her goals. This strong ambition doesn't come as a surprise, considering our lineage stems from a deep ancestral background of hardship and strong spirit. So over the years, those goals have evolved, and so have the women.
While getting married and becoming a mother has not been erased from these goals completely, it has been pushed down in the list of priorities. Heck, it might not even be on the to-do list at all, but that's totally okay.
I love that.
KK?
The successful Arab woman wakes up every morning, sips on some hater tears right before executing some massive deals. You can always spot her walking down the street, head held high, holding her own with fierce grace. Oh, I love that! Fierce grace.
Fiercely, gracefully. She checks out the markets because she's strategic, and she reads up on current events because she's well of knowledge. She still finds the time to keep up with her interpersonal relationships, yet doesn't mind working overtime to build new professional ones. She's 10 steps ahead of the game. Her regrets and mistakes don't pull her down. They only jolt her forward on her path of success.
And I think that's so important. I want to comment on this, that her regrets and mistakes don't pull her down. They only jolt her forward on her path of success. Because for me personally, like, I have a history of being really hard on myself and judging myself for my mistakes and my regrets. But using that as fuel in this way and knowing that they only jolt you forward, like, that's massive. Like, that's so powerful. That's using something that could be perceived as bad.
That could tear you down, bring you up.
Mm-hmm. Yes. She isn't afraid to make sacrifices to get what she wants. She will drop everything to chase her dreams. Yes. You see, the thing about successful Arab women is that they will do anything and everything in and out of their hands to not just achieve success, but push themselves further and exceed their own expectations. They busted their ass to get where they are, and they're not giving up for anyone.
Successful Arab women got to where they are today because they truly uphold the value of education, integrity, and discipline. They're the first ones in the office and the last ones to leave. They woke up at the crack of dawn to run 5 miles, not really, not to impress you, but to look good for themselves.
A successful Arab woman isn't tripping off your opinion because she never asked for it. The only validation she cares for comes from within.
That's what we were talking about this whole time, that the validation only comes from within. She's a woman, after all, not a little girl. Constantly checking on her whereabouts and making jealous accusations are the red flags you give her, indicating it's time for her to walk away.
Don't date a successful Arab woman unless you can handle it. Don't date a successful Arab woman unless you view her as your complete equal in every aspect, academically, financially, politically, etc. Don't date a successful Arab woman unless you feel that her success is your motivation.
So if you're wondering, a jolt of energy, we read that article and it boosted our Arab woman aura within. It reawakened her.
Yes. And you want to share where the article is so they can read
it?
Yeah,
no, I'm going to link it in the description notes, okay, always.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It really just gives you the sense of validation. It reminds you that sense of validation is within. And that's all you ever need. You don't need to be in a place that accepts you, you know, like,
accept yourself. You're allowed to be loud.
I love that. Accept yourself and you're allowed to be loud. These are things that are important for us women, especially Arab women, to remind ourselves of.
So I started this new thing that I'm doing with my podcast, with myself and my guests, kind of at the beginning. We didn't do it at the beginning, so we'll just do it at the end. So it's basically 4 daily check-ins, like this pep talk that you have with yourselves in 4 different aspects of your body, and I love it. It's like an ender, icebreaker, outro. So the first thing let me like go over the four ones. Okay, so it's physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. Physically, how do you feel?
Why are you gay?
How do I feel? I feel good, honestly. I feel really good, especially...
No, physically. So, okay, I should have went over, like, an example for you guys for so you can understand it. So, I'm going to say, like, I'm going to do it with me first. Physically, my body feels tense. What am I going to do about it? We read that article, we laughed, we heard our voices, and, like, now I'm just, like, loosened up.
Mm.
So, like, physically, literally, how does your body physically feel? Tense, good, light, heavy?
Yeah, I think it feels a little tense. Exactly like you said, kind of after reading that article, it did really, like, loosen me up and make me feel more comfortable in my body.
Okay. And then the second was... mentally. So, like, mentally right now, my mind feels clear. So what about you?
Mentally, I feel just a little bit foggy, and I think what I'm gonna do about that is do some journaling after this. Quick tip, something that I learned from my friend is a brain dump. So you just go on a page and literally write all the things that are on your mind, literally everything from small to big, and it's amazing how that really clears your mind.
Love that. When I have anxiety, I kind of do that, like, on a post-it note. Like, if I can't sleep, I just wake up and jot down the things that are, like, bringing me anxiety, and then just talk about, like, what I'm doing to, like, fix them.
Mm-hmm.
And then thirdly, spiritually. So, like, for me, you know, I always mention that, like, my spiritual practice is, like, an ongoing journey and practice for me. So, like, last night I read Surat al-Mulk before I went to sleep, and it, like, made me feel better. So that's, like, kind of like me spiritually. It could be, like, anything to you, like, what you're doing, like...
Honestly, spiritually, I'm not as fueled up as I would like. I think that, you know, there's just been a lot going on for me, and I haven't really carved out the necessary time to focus on the spiritual side, which for me is, you know, doing my daily practice of, if it's meditation or yoga or journaling or whatever it is, just anything to help clear the mind. And of course, Quran is part of that too.
Mm-hmm. All right. And lastly, to wrap it up, is emotionally. So that one, you know, that's like the most one that kind of go into roller coasters. So emotionally for me right now, I feel I went through many different emotions, but now I'm just like one emotion, which is like steady and neutral.
Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, there's a lot of emotions for me right now, but something that's really being highlighted is, you know, kind of like the love tank, you know, if you're like, how full is your love tank?
Kind of like filling your cup, stuff like
that. Yeah, kind of like that, exactly, love tank. And I think my love tank is running a little low for myself. So after this, I'm going to do some self-love practice. And like the easiest way that I love to do that is just place my hand on my heart and give love back to my heart, like appreciating and giving gratitude to my heart, like giving thanks to my heart. And we can like do it together real quick. It's just really quick and easy.
Okay, placing my hand on my heart.
You place our hand on our heart and just giving gratitude, just heart center, thanking our heart for being, for beating, for feeling, for giving, and for receiving. And I love doing that. It's really simple, and it really kind of just centers you, because, you know, when we judge our emotions, it's really our mind judging our heart's experience, and it kind of closes our heart up a little every time. So pumping that love, like, love is so powerful. We are made of love. We are made of love. So giving some gratitude and love back to that love center is so powerful.
Thank you for tuning in and spending this time listening to this episode. If you could take 1 second to support this podcast by sharing it and leaving an honest review, it would mean so much to me and help us to reach many different audiences to spread our stories about the hijab. Until next time, never forget the power of being a hijabi. Thanks for reaching the end of the episode. We hope you learned something new about the women who wear the hijab. You can watch the recorded video of this episode on YouTube at Journal Hijabi. And be sure to follow our Instagram at Journal Hijabi to stay updated on all things hijabi and help spread our stories. Until next time, never forget the power of being a hijabi.